Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, welcome to Alastapa. This week we're up in Manchester with the amazing Janice Connolly, a.k.a. Barbara Nice. There's lots of fun to be had in this one, plus some visual stuff that people listening to the audio might like to check out on our YouTube channel after they have listened to it. But what? Come and see us live. We're doing lots more rehearsals this year all around the country, mainly in London at the moment. We're at the Leicester Square Theatre every Monday till April the 6th. April the 6th has sold out, but there are tickets for the others as I speak. Still a couple of guests to announce for that one. We're at the Birmingham Podcast Festival. It's sold out, but let me tell you, Noddy Holder is going to be the guest. That's pretty exciting. And we're in Norwich, which is also sold out. We don't have any guests confirmed for that one yet. We'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe for the first 10 days in early August. If the Edinburgh Fringe isn't cancelled by pestilence. And we'll be back at the Leicester Square Theatre in October and November on Mondays all throughout those months with, I just had a burp in the back of my throat, with lots of, they'll probably edit it out, it's fine, with lots of fantastic guests lined up in my mind, and I hope they will come to fruition. It's pretty exciting, this lineup of Series 19. We're still watching Series 18 at the moment, which also has a pretty exciting lineup with the great guests coming up. So thanks for your support. Become a badger if you want to help us make more podcasts. Tell your friends about the podcast. If you don't want to pay any money, then they can listen to it, and then that will get us some money as well. So thanks very much. Let's sit back and enjoy Rahalastapa with Janice Connolly.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Stoller Halls, wherever that is. It's in Manchester, apparently. Please welcome a man who has a 6x3 snooker table in the back of his car. It's Richard Herring. Oh, yeah, hello, Manchester. Not available in the shops. You cannot get this. If you haven't got this, you cannot get it. That's lovely tea. That's a T-shirt for people listening in audio. It's beautiful, though. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lonely Souls Tornado podcast. So you've got to come up with new ideas for a podcast. Why, all the lonely people, where do they all come from? Wrong city. Is almost the worst city I could have chosen. They get together and then we put them in a tornado and hope they make friends. That's the idea of the podcast. You've got to come up with the good ideas. Though I was hanging around with the Hacienda Club. Yeah, Bez was there. Fiona Allen was on the coat check. They call it Relistibus. I don't know if that's gonna catch on. I've on the way up to Manchester. I live in Hertfordshire. I passed Bedford, where I bought a snooker board. I'm doing a live snooker tournament. It's worth coming to London for in December. But it turns out I thought I'd bring it up and put it up because I've got one in the car. I'll put it on the stage. We can have a bit of snooker. But it's a slate 6x3 snooker. It's pretty heavy. It's not really ideally what I wanted, but it cost £36, so I'm happy. The guy lived in a manor. He's on eBay. He's on a fucking manor. I drive up. He said, yeah, put stuff on. Yeah, it's better than chucking it away. Got your 36 quid, have you, mate, for living in a manor house? Oh, God, he said he was going to listen to some podcasts. He didn't know I was. Oh, shit. He probably won't pick this one. Anyway, we're in Manchester. There are lots of things. The Roman name, Mamucium. Means breast-shaped hill, so that's why, Matt, when you're a Mancunian, that's what you are. You're a breast-shaped hill. Thought you didn't know that. The first programmable computer was designed here in 1948 at the University of Manchester. My dad, Keith Herring, worked on that computer in the 1950s, which I only found out on his 80th birthday. when he had his thesis, it had all been printed up, and he didn't understand any of it. It's incredible. I did not know he'd been working in computers that early, which is ironic, because nowadays he can't program his TV and or point his iPad at his face when he's on Skype. So it's absolutely incredible. Yeah, I'm not kidding, but I've just put this in my sitcom. I'm writing sort of about my dad. He got a new box to record TV shows, which you don't have to do anymore, you idiot. And he couldn't make it work, and he got his grandchild round who came to look at it, and he series recorded the news at 10 by accident. He had 30 news at 10s to catch up on. Worked on the first computer, my dad. That's amazing. The Kellogg's factory is next to Old Trafford. It's pretty in the Kellogg's factory in the UK. That's pretty impressive. I don't know if you know this. Cornflakes were originally invented to dissuade people from masturbating. So I guess, where should we put the factory in England? Oh, Manchester, that's... I'm saying you're all wankers, mate. That's what I'm saying there. Got you? Might be some more Manchester. I don't know if there's anything in this. I just thought this was... Manchester claims to be the birthplace of vegetarianism. In the Vegetarian Society started in 1809 in Manchester. And that news must have been a disappointment to all the people in India and ancient Greece 3,500 years ago. Apparently is invented in Manchester. So, and as we record this, it's the 2nd of November, 2 days since Brexit happened. It's not been that bad. Although I have to say the riots on the night it happened, I did not anticipate that. I saw kids out there just covered head to foot in blood, begging for food. They were travelling from door to door just begging for food. Some of them, 3-year-old kids caught up in this. It's disgusting. Some of them were just hacked back to skeletons. It was off. But it's turned out okay. Brexit's been fine. So there you go. You Ramonas. This is going out in about 3 or 4 months, maybe longer. I wonder if they'll have had Brexit yet at home. That's the eternal question of this. My guest this week... It's only 1 week. Just this, we're only doing one this week. Is, as normal, don't know why I even said that. She's probably best known as the occupational therapist in The Locksmith. We all remember that series. Will you please welcome Janice Connolly, ladies and gentlemen, from The Locksmith. Sit down, but don't trip over my wire.
Hiya.
Do you remember playing the... That was one of
yes,
your first roles.
I do
roles.
Remember playing the occupational therapist in The Locksmith.
She didn't have a name. She was just the occupational therapist.
I know, yeah. Okay. I did do that. It was a long time ago. This lad does do his research. I do. That's for sure.
The Locksmith. Don't remember the series myself.
No, that's
I don't
right.
Really, it doesn't seem like a great drama. My favourite joke of all time, though, comes from Police Squad, when Leslie Nielsen goes into a place and someone says, "Who are you and how did you get in here?" He says, "I'm a locksmith and I'm a locksmith." The best joke of all time. My ex-girlfriend Sarah Jane Potts was in The Locksmith, I noticed.
So that created the interest. What did she play in it?
She was the daughter in it. It was a long time ago. I'm not sick. Anyway, let's see where we can start with you. So, there's a lot. We know you as Barbara Nice, but there's a lot.
Some people. A lot of people are going, "Who is she?"
You look absolutely stunning.
Thank you very much. It's
beautiful. Thank you for dressing up. I'm sorry. I'm in this T-shirt now. I feel foolish. You started out in bands, which I didn't know about. You were in bands in the 70s and 80s, according to Wikipedia.
70s, yeah. Like so you were in a band. Punk rock, sci-fi.
Yeah. So you're in a.
You know that genre.
The Ever Readies?
Yeah, the Ever Readies, correct.
Surprises. You did a song called Jeremy Thorpe is Innocent.
Yeah, and the chorus was. It was very good, and the chorus was, "The Queen did it, and she's still free." It's good! Look it up, Google it, let's sell those things.
Okay.
Very good.
And Martian.
I had a Martian girlfriend. Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah. Were you the singer? Did you write the songs?
I was sort of at the side with the tambourine right. and did the backing vocals. I'm a good off the ball player, right. basically. So I was at the side, but it was fantastic being in a band. Actually,
you're in John Peel.
John Peel played. Jeremy Thorpe is Innocent, and I was. In bed in my flat, and it's a great feeling when you listen to the radio and then John Peel says, and here's, you know, I can't do it, I'm not a very good impersonator, but here's the Ever Readies singing.
Yeah.
Jeremy Thorpe, it was wonderful, actually. Yeah.
Do you think Jeremy Thorpe was innocent?
The Queen did it. And she's still free.
I think it's worse to say the Queen. The Queen's alive, we can get it done for that.
Oh, sorry, you take that out.
No, it's all right, she did it. She's almost.
She's still free.
She's probably shot a dog at some point, hasn't she? Almost certainly.
I'm sure she has.
I mean, let's leave it in, and then if she hasn't shot a dog, she can
take
sue.
It
she
out,
can sue
take
me.
It
no,
out.
She can sue me. I'm prepared to. I'm prepared to take
right,
that
okay,
chance.
Okay, leave that in there.
Because I bet she has shot one. It's still not the worst thing that someone in her family has done.
No.
So it's.
No. Two words, Coo Stark. You knew about it then with Coo Stark. Google it.
Yeah,
Google Coo Stark.
And I was very excited. Another early thing you did was you worked with John Dowie on Dogman.
Yeah, yes. Do you know John?
I know of him. I don't know him personally at all, but I'm a big fan. I've seen Dogman, a later incarnation of that show.
Yeah,
he did it
so
in
this
Edinburgh
was
in
Birmingham. Because I'm from Stockport. I live in Birmingham. And as part of the kind of art scene going on, there was an arts lab. Does anybody remember the arts lab movement? It was very big. So everybody was doing these very experimental things. So I played in that John Dowie thing, Hermie, the hermaphrodite hunchback. You couldn't make it up, really, could you? So that's the kind of thing we got up to,
So Stockport got mentioned, and one person went.
Anybody from Stockport?
There's one man.
Landed the viaduct in the mighty pyramid. Stockport Market.
I mean,
keep it free.
Stockport must be bad if you've chosen to live in Birmingham instead.
That is. Now I'm going to tell you. Now I wondered when there would be the Birmingham chime. I've got to tell you, it's boring to keep having to go at Birmingham. What's that about?
I was more having to go at Stockport, really.
Oh, right,
that was the lowest of the low.
No, I am fascinated by the sort of anti-Birmingham stuff.
Yeah. It's because it's full of pricks.
Is that what it is?
Bovril drinking pricks, isn't it? That's what it is. That's what they like there. No, I love everywhere. I travel everywhere and I love... It's difficult when it gets recorded because, you know, obviously when I'm in Liverpool, I say, I hate Manchester, but when I'm in Manchester, I have to go to Liverpool,
you
know. So they'll find out if they listen to the Liverpool one that I'm just a hypocrite.
Okay.
But luckily they don't know for the moment.
Okay.
So we'll be fine today until they listen to the Liverpool podcast. What brought you in? You were working for charity. You were working for Bernardo's. Was that before of the showbiz success?
I was born in Stockport and I did loads of kind of youth theatre at the Garrick Theatre there, which was absolutely brilliant. Then went to Birmingham to do drama and to train as a teacher. And then sort of started doing lots of other kind of things, really.
So
Was that always the intention to go into show business? Was that
well, when I was a kid, my mum used to put me on tables in pubs and I'd sing Little White Bull.
Right.
So it was sort of, it's always sort of been an interest. Yeah, I like doing it.
And I guess meeting Peter Kay was like quite a big moment in your career.
Yeah, there was a competition called Northwest Act of the Year. I think it was 2007 or something like that. And Peter had won it the year before and he was in the audience. And then he kind of rung me up and said, I thought you did really good. If he's listened to this, he'd be going, that's a terrible impersonation of me. I thought you did really good. You want to be in a television programme. So that was very good.
Yeah. And so you worked with him on a lot of things, actually. Yeah. Even like Coronation Street, you played his
mum. Yeah, I played his mother, yeah.
And obviously Phoenix Knights. Probably best known for the stuff you did with him.
More than the occupational therapy.
Yeah. Well, out of the Peter Kay stuff, I'm not sorry. I'm saying that's the locksmith trumps
the
everything.
The locksmith, that's right.
We've got to look it up. Let's all watch it now. So what was the process of getting into... Was Phoenix Knight the first thing, or was there
this thing called that Peter Kay thing, right. Which was lots and lots of different... Small, this girl remembers it, I think, don't you? So they had loads and loads of different scenarios each week. And then the one about the club was very popular. So they chose that one and made Phoenix Knights out of that.
Because it was an amazing cast of people. I mean, a lot of sort of unknowns, wasn't it? That he was Daniel Kitson was in it, of course, and Dave Spikey.
Toby Foster, Justin, Steve Edge, those of us.
And you went off on a jumping on the bandwagon tour with Paddy McGuinness.
Yeah, but we realised Paddy was going places.
Okay.
Because afterwards, we were kind of signing all these posters and there wasn't much of a queue for us. But there was a massive queue for Paddy. You just thought, oh, he's just going to go massive. But he's really lovely, Paddy, so good luck to him. You smash him.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, he's a nice lad. He's a lovely lad.
and so where did Barbara Nice come from? Was that the act you were doing when Peter Kay saw you, or were you doing something else then?
It was Barbara. But I sort of started doing stand-up because I started doing, like, I've been the artistic director of a women's theatre company in Birmingham for 35 years. And we were devising all the work, and I was noticing the stuff that I was devising, making up, was funny, and I thought it'd be really good just to try it out on my own. So I started doing stand-up then, really, and then created Barbara because I was even older. You can't be even older than you are now, but I was old to start stand-up. And I was thinking, what kind of character can I do? Who can I be in comedy clubs that they will kind of accept and go with? So I created this mother figure, really.
Yeah.
But I started doing it properly as a double act with a lad called Reg Nice, and I played his mum, Barbara Nice. So we're like a mother and son act. But he left, he went to computers, and I carried on.
He went to computers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's a magician now.
Is he? Yes. A lot of people who work in computers think that. They're not. It's sort of interesting. It's like, because a lot of people are doing that now, coming from a theatrical background, and some Fleabag and Chewing Gum. They're all coming from a theatrical background and sort of doing comedy and taking the comedy world by storm. But you beat them all to it. You were coming from a theatre. You came with a theatre.
You think I've beaten Fleabag?
Yeah, I think you're better than Fleabag.
Yeah, I'm better than Fleabag. Right, thank you.
Well, you did it first, and that's what counts.
Well, yeah, part of that.
And so what was the process of going on to the Britain's Got Talent you went on to, didn't you?
Well, for years I was thinking about doing it, and then you sort of think, oh, well, I can't keep thinking about this all the time. I'll go and do it. And I was pleased to do it, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was frightened, and I think it's very good to do things that we're frightened of doing. I was frightened on loads of accounts, because it's horrible to be judged. Nobody wants four people judging them. And you also think about your peers thinking, what's she doing that for? And all that kind of stuff. So there's loads of sort of things.
I mean, it's a risk as well, isn't it? Because, you know, the decision's made pretty quickly by the audience whether they like someone or not. And so, I mean, I think there's always a good chance you're going to go down well. But if you just step out there and everyone just goes, no, I don't like them, you've got a sort of humiliating experience.
Yeah. What was interesting, because I did it at the Lowry, and I know that place, so I sort of felt comfortable. But as soon as I put my foot on the stage, everybody started cheering and... I'm a bit worried about saying this, but anyway, Simon Cowell, I don't think he's got much of a sense of humour. He might have to get rid of that. He's got a load of money, but I could see him sort of looking around like this, like, why is this happening? Why do you like this?
Right.
So I think he's bemused by comedy.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. I mean, yeah. He would say that.
He won't sue me, will he?
No, I don't.
Bemused by comedy.
He sort of doesn't like comedy. I think, you know, he's sort of annoyed by comedians being on that show, which is
I think he probably is annoyed.
But
by
comedians, well, you know, comedians do well on it, and it's an interesting place. A lot of people have gone on, and a lot of have done, you know, incredibly well. You did incredibly well. It does work out.
But he definitely doesn't get it, I think.
Yeah.
I think a comedian the year before had done a joke about a bag for life, and he didn't know what one was.
Right.
So David Walliams is going, it's one of these things. So there you go. Oh, right. So that kind of, He doesn't know things.
And there was a mild controversy when you were on, because obviously...
She's a millionaire. Well, what's she doing here?
You're a TV star. You've been on Coronation Street twice.
I know.
Yeah. Did that make any difference?
Well, that was one of the reasons I didn't want to do it, really. But you do get people advising you. It's a big show. So they say, that's fine. So, well, I've done this and I've done that. It'll be absolutely fine. And then it was all over Twitter. You know, what kind of a person? She's a liar and all this sort of stuff. So
I mean, it's not like you were thinking you're going to get away with that. It wasn't you pretending to be someone you weren't.
And also, Barbara is my creation, really. You know, in Phoenix Nights, I was saying somebody else's lines. And I've been doing Barbara in the clubs for a very, very long time, and I know people like her. And it seemed to me a chance for loads of people to see Barbara, really. That was the idea in the end.
I mean, you know, I think if you're taking someone else's act, or if you're pretending, you know, you're going on in a mask and pretending to be someone else, but it's not like people wouldn't know who you are.
No, and it's also she belongs to me.
And really. It wasn't like you were a superstar who'd had, you know, your own series and all that sort of thing.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
You are now. But you'd work for, you know, you'd work
I've
for
I've worked
years
very hard and I've been able to make a living out of it.
So that's sort of fair enough. And there's no rules on Britain's Got Talent.
No, it's a talent show, actually. Yeah. And what's really lovely about it is it is a proper talent show and anybody can come on, and if they're good, and what's lovely about the stage, I think, is it's like a level playing ground. If you're good and people go, we like it, then something happens. And I think I can't think of anything else that you can get onto without having big agents. I think if anybody thinking of going on, let me know and I'll give you some advice. You can get there without knowing everybody, really.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It genuinely is a thing.
And what difference has it made in your
life? I would say about 5 to 10% more people coming to see my live shows.
Right.
I'm doing this. I don't think I would have done that. Maybe I would have done this. I don't know. I've been interviewed by Basil Brush.
Okay.
So, exactly. This lad's going, now you made it, Barbara. I wasn't interested before, but Basil, yeah.
And what's he like in real life, Basil Brush, when the cameras aren't on?
Well, it's so wonderful, really, because there's like a little thing that he pops up behind. So the guy who is Basil has to be... Sorry to tell you, it's all right. You're okay with this. He has to kind of be there where all the audience come in. So honestly, I think it's quite hard work. But it was good fun being with him.
Well, he's got to crouch in a box for a while. That's not that hard work. There's a harder jobs than crouching
in
a box.
Crouching in boxes.
I was going to have him on the Edinburgh Fringe podcast, but we couldn't. I think they just, for that reason, they didn't want him waiting. Well, also, I had two guests, so he'd have had to wait while the audience were coming in. And then if he was first, he'd have had to wait
a long time. That's right, the old waiting
game. Second interview, and he'd just be in a box.
That's right.
Why did I do this?
He could have put me on first.
I mean, he can't be the original bloke doing it, can he? That guy's got long gone. He was the original Basil Brush. It's some guy who's come in to be Basil Brush.
Any information on Basil Brush?
He can't be the original guy, can he? There was a light. Oh, he was an old guy, the guy who did it originally. He'd be like 150 now if he was still in.
Yeah,
if he was still in a box, I'd think, fair play, mate. I mean, he is in a box, thinking about it, but he's staying very still in that box now.
That's right.
But yeah, he's taking over. It's like people taking over Sooty. You know, it was all right when it's passed down the family.
Their franchise, then suddenly, it's like the Body Shop.
Yeah, then suddenly someone not even called Corbett takes over. It's all right when it was Matthew Corbett. That's what I find dispiriting, is that when you look at Matthew Corbett now, he's really old. And I'm old enough to remember when Matthew Corbett was, like, really young. I mean, I was younger, but now he's, like, a really...
Let it go, Richard.
Do you remember?
Stuff. Yeah, I do remember him.
Now he's too old to do... That's how old he is.
He's too old to do...
You got a fella... Imagine you're born into that, though. That's the thing. So you've chosen to be Barbara Nice, but if you were born into the family, someone said, well, you'll get to take over one day, and then you have to...
Here's the wig.
Yeah, they have to, you have to do it.
Here's the bag.
You resent it.
I don't know. My daughter would be very good at being me. She knows the act, for sure.
Rod Hull resented his...
Did he? Yeah, I didn't know that.
He resented his emu. I think he did when we had him on our show.
What did he say?
We came on Fist of Fun, but the reason he came on and did it, he said, was because we hadn't asked for emu. And so he was sort of flattered.
Glad.
Yeah, he was just flattered to be asked to do something without emu. So if you always get asked to do emu, you know.
Yeah.
You know, emu doesn't actually do anything, it's just his hand. That's the thing.
So what did he do without emu?
He was just him. Well, we had a character who was pretending to be Rod Hull. It's a complicated story.
It's much more complicated than
it's a complicated story. So he came on in the last show to then challenge this guy and say he was the real Rod Hull, whereas the bad false Rod Hull was still claiming he was the real Rod Hull. It was a very funny idea, and then we were going to
Did he get commission?
Yeah, no, he didn't. Well, he got paid to come on that, and then we were going to redo the character. And we'd written loads of sketches and recorded a few of them, and each week the false Rod Hull would do something. And then he refused to admit he had a real arm underneath, so he'd end up dying because he'd go in a swimming pool and refuse to swim, reusing his and drown. Or he'd go fencing and get stabbed because he couldn't do anything. And then we were sitting on the studio floor rehearsing the first show, and then the news came in that Rod had fallen off a roof and died.
How did you feel?
I knew him. But my first, because I'd met him, my first thought was, oh, shit, we can't do the sketches anymore.
And then
I went, oh, and it's sad.
Well, Basil Brush proudly says he's the only person from that era still unscathed, actually. Yeah, Basil's free.
Basil. Yeah. Yeah, I reckon he did something. Jimmy Cricket, he's all right. Jimmy Cricket's okay.
Oh, he's lovely. Jimmy Cricket's a good guy.
Yeah. Actually, I saw you performed at Jimmy Cricket's daughter's
wedding. I did a mass raffle, yeah.
Do you do a lot of that? Do you get called to do lots of weddings? Or was that just a treat for a fellow
actor? Yeah, I do weddings. I ain't done a funeral yet, but I do definitely do weddings. And people's parties, actually, because Barbara's a good laugh, you know, and the raffle's great fun.
Yeah, so you do a show.
You can win a bottle of Dettol.
Yeah.
Frey Bentos pie. You're laughing. People go mad for the Frey Bentos pie.
What do they have to do for the Frey Bentos
pie?
It's
a simple raffle, actually. You just have to properly just get a ticket.
Right.
And it goes in the drum. And people saying, oh, just cheat. I never cheat. I put everybody's number in. And if I'd have got through to the final of Britain's Got Talent, I was going to do a raffle. So they were saying, the producers were saying, can you make it so that, you know, the four win? I was going, no. The raffle has to be free and true.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing. If I'd got... This lad's nodding, it's true. It's a lovely thing.
I mean, he's won the raffle. That's the guy with the gorgeous girlfriend from before the show.
He's won the raffle of life.
The only
explanation. So I like to
look
keep
at his face. I mean, look at his face. And then look at her. Look at his face.
They're both lovely.
They're not lovely. She's gorgeous. He's a nice lad.
He's
a hideous freak.
He's lovely. Take no notice of him. He's a lovely lad. So, yeah, I like raffling. I like keeping things really true, actually, and not faking stuff.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's better.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's good to know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You did that. Right, I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Right, okay.
This is from the new version of the emergency book.
Is this your book?
With 25 extra questions in the back. So if you bought the green one, you have to buy this for the 25. I'm going to ask you one of the 25 questions.
Right, go on.
I'll tell you what, if I just ask all the 25 questions now, then you don't have to buy the book if you've already got it. That's not one of them. The question is, that's a bad question.
You can ask me anything.
No, it's a bad one.
Did you put it in the book?
Because it's near the end.
Right.
If anyone's got that far, they deserve it.
Okay.
What was the weirdest reason you ever skived off school, Janice? Remember?
The weirdest reason?
Did you ever skive? Were you a skiver?
Oh, yeah, everybody skived. You have to. It's like a rite of passage, isn't it? I can't think of a... There's no weird reason. You just want to say, we're not going in geography.
Yeah. What did you...
That's it!
What did you do? What did you do instead?
I remember very clearly an interesting experience of skiving. Our school was near a graveyard, and we went into a church, me and my friend Janice, the two Janices we were called. And we both were sort of there in this little church, and we both said, do you believe in God? Don't believe in God. Do you believe in God? Let's just ask for a sign. And the doors did blow open, I'm telling you. So then we ran out screaming. But that did happen.
Wow.
You make of it what you will. Mm. Especially this close to Halloween. Make of it what you will.
All right. I'll ask you this question, Janice. I said I wouldn't ask any rude questions backstage.
It's fine.
I know. If your genitals had to be replaced by the face of one of the Muppets...
One of the Muppets.
The face would be able to interact and communicate in exactly the same way as the Muppet.
Big Bird.
I mean, that's the Muppet.
Every time!
Good answer. I'm going to... let's... Let's see what else came up in these extras. They're not very good.
It's all right. This is your book, love.
I know. It's not very good. This is a question that came up. This happened as I was... Often when I'm just writing the questions, it's just something that happened that day.
Of course.
Yeah. Richard accidentally elbowed Denise Van Outen in the face on Channel 5 Celebrity Game Night. What is the worst injury you have directly or indirectly caused to a celebrity or person of renown? Ever injured anyone famous?
No.
No. Okay, good. Could have been nasty.
They'll sue, love.
Well,
so I'm saying no.
The Celebrity Game Night.
It wasn't me.
Celebrity Game Night was an interesting show. It was on
happened?
Well, it's
what
Channel
happened?
5, and then it's sort of a bit like House of Games or something like that, but a bit more physical. So it's two teams of celebrities. But they give you a lot of drink beforehand, and then there's a bar on the set that's a working bar.
Right.
And I was still drinking at this point. I think it was last year. And I got very, very drunk. And so and then you're putting your hands in things that could explode, and you know it was going to explode at some point. And I thought, they're definitely going to kill someone. Could have been Denise Van Outen. All right, how about this? Do you think they should introduce VAR, video assisted referee? You know the VAR thing in football now.
No, you've lost me already, love.
Nowadays, you can replay the football and then see if there was an infraction. It's called video assisted referee technology. Would you like that in everyday life? What incidents or arguments would you want replayed and resolved from recently? Because I would like to have it. I'm always arguing with my wife,
right.
And then I can't. You know, when you're arguing with your wife, your partner, you get to the point where you can't really quite remember what the argument was about.
Yes.
And they say, you said this.
Yes.
No, I didn't say that. And they go, yeah, you did. I would just like to be able to go
prove
back
it.
And prove
where.
I mean, it'd be annoying because it would probably prove my wife was right.
Yeah.
That's the danger. But that would be quite... Do you have arguments like that with your family?
I'm never at home, actually. No. I'm always working.
Good. No, that's probably that's the secret to a successful family life.
Never be there.
Never be there. Okay, these are, let's see, what we've done a few of these extra questions. Here's another question that came back from something that was happening. Richard has been meaning to clean up the drain outside his kitchen ever since he moved into his new house 2 years ago. And it's longer than that now, and I still haven't done it. What is the longest running chore that you've been intending to do but keep putting off?
The longest running chore that I intended to do. I don't know, really, love. It's not the kind of thing I spend time thinking about.
Are you good at housework?
I just do what we need to. You just do what you need to do. You know, a chore. The word chore's interesting. Yeah. What do you mean by chore?
Well, I mean, I think having to do
anything you don't want to do.
I mean, anything.
The tax, I don't like doing my tax. That's a chore.
Okay, that is
a chore. Absolute chore. Yeah. I don't like doing.
But you do it though, right?
Yeah, of course I do it.
Because
if
you get into trouble, you can get into trouble for that. I'll do one more. I'll go into the book. I'll ask you. Well, you've sort of nearly answered this, but have you ever seen a ghost apart from God?
In God, yes. The connection with God and Halloween was it? Have I ever seen a ghost? I remember being in bed and then looking up, and there was this sort of apparition above. I remember that.
There was an apparition in bed. What was it?
That's all I'm telling. I've just explained what I saw. Well, I don't know what it was. Some things you just don't know what they are,
but it was there.
It was a ghostly kind of apparition.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
Make of that what you will.
Well, the fact you're in bed, I think it was a dream. That's what I'm making of it.
I kind of thought I was awake. But anyway,
That's how they get you, those dream
ghosts.
No,
I know, that's right, the dream ghosts.
I had a witch sitting on my chest trying to strangle me when I was asleep on a dressing room floor after I'd been drinking quite heavily. I reckon that was real, though, that one. So, in 2017, you got the British Empire Medal from...
I did,
Which member of the royal family did you collect that from?
Well,
because
it's a British Empire Medal, it was something that David Cameron came up with. So it's like a community thing. You'd never get to see the royal family. So you get an invitation. So I got mine from Birmingham. And then we got an invitation to... like a royal garden party. So I thought, which one would my mum prefer to go to? Because the Queen would be there, but it's a garden party. So I thought she'd prefer to do that than come to Birmingham Town Hall. So we got there. There were absolutely thousands of people there. You couldn't see. And then the Queen kind of came down with, I think Philip was there, and some dignitaries, and they went in this sort of a central tent thing. My mother was going, this is a disgrace. You should be in there. Go and tell them. But it wasn't one of those kind of events, really. So I didn't get to meet the Queen, but I was very pleased to get the medal. It's a very nice colour, purple.
And what's the medal? What did you get that for?
Doing community services through theatre.
Yeah. So you've been doing these... You've been working in the theatre for...
A long time. Yeah. 35 years.
35 years,
more than that, probably.
And so what sort of things do you do in the theatre when you're not doing...
Well, we've just done a show at Birmingham Rep, which is about women and retirement. And what we do is we go and talk to people. I'm very interested in, like I said before, the truth, really, ordinary stuff. So we go and talk to people about what their real experiences are, and then we listen really carefully. And then in this case, we wrote three monologues about women in retirement, which was very successful, sold out. We've also got a thing called Phyllis, which is about when we get older. If we fall, it's bad news. You get into hospital and social services and the health service are kind of not sure what to do with you. And for every day over the age of 80, you stay in hospital, it takes a year off your life. So this play, Phyllis, is kind of about that. And I know it sounds miserable, but it's also very funny.
Yeah.
Because I think these two things can go side by side constantly. It isn't just this or this. In all our lives, we're laughing or crying at the same time, so it's sort of, they run parallel.
Yeah.
But it's all based on what things that people have told us, really.
That's terrific. That's great. Are you carrying on with those?
Yeah.
Are we going to see those shows, or is it going to be new shows in the pipeline?
Because we haven't got that kind of funding, we're always having to come up with new stuff. Birmingham's getting the Commonwealth Games, so I'm very interested in doing stuff around women and sports, and we did a great piece called Into the Water in a multicultural area of Birmingham where we interviewed all the women who were going to this women-only session about their relationship with water, went out to the community. Then we did a performance where It's in an old Victorian baths, and the audience kind of sat there, and there were loads of women swimming, and you could hear these stories through headphones. So we're going to do one about called Track and Field, about women doing track and field events.
Great.
Good. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. And there was also, you did a gig for Laughing for a Change, which was about mental health, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you get involved with that charity?
There was some funding involved.
Right.
But it's also a very, very important issue. And more people are talking about mental health now. Which is really, really good.
Yeah. Well, a lot of comedians are. It's becoming the new...
Have you seen Joker? Can I talk about Joker? Has anybody seen the film Joker? Isn't it brilliant? It's you didn't. Why didn't you like it? Oh, I thought it was all about mental health, really. And I just found it really properly interesting. I think it's... And this is really controversial. I don't think there are any bad people. I just think that people are really upset and damaged. Anyway, so
that's okay. You can talk about
that. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, we can talk about anything you like.
I won't get sued for saying there are no bad people.
What about Hitler? Was he all?
Yeah, he
was a bit damaged.
Yeah,
he only had one ball.
Yeah,
not actually true. He had two.
No, it's the other one, isn't it? Hitler had only got one ball.
Goebbels had no ball.
Goebbels had two, but very small. Himmler had something similar, but poor old Dada had no balls at all.
I think it's Goebbels who had no
Goebbels
balls.
Goebbels had no balls.
It's done for the comic effect.
Thank you. Thank you. Hitler. But I'm fast. As you said, the mental health thing and comedy. It's great to get people talking about comedy. About mental health in comedy, but it's not just for comedy to talk about, it's for everything to talk about. Really.
Yeah, but comedy can I know...
It's sort of, but it should also be funny,
Well, it should be.
It?
I mean, you're an entertainer. You're definitely interested in entertaining people.
Absolutely.
And making sure everyone's gone home and had a nice time.
Yes.
But that, you know, but then if you're doing theatre, that's Barbara and I, and then you're doing theatre, you're doing different kinds of comedy. You know, you can do... There's different different ways of...
There's loads of different stuff. Yeah. But I'm very, very interested, particularly as Barbara, with giving people a good time. So I do things like stage dive and things like that. If I was dressed differently, I would do it. But I think this will come up.
You can't trust these guys to catch you. Many of them have never touched
a woman. Well, I'm telling you... I might do it. Because actually, every audience is capable of catching me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're happy to take the liability yourself,
I'm insured with equity up to $3 million.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got it filmed. You know, if something goes terribly wrong, this would be great for the podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Should we have a go?
Do I have to do it as well?
No. You have to know what you're doing, really. Okay.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
Okay. I might need some music, though. How are you for clearing music?
Have you got some music with these guys, or are you just going to...
I haven't really organised anything, really. It's when you said out there you can do anything.
You can do anything you
want. Okay, all right. Then.
I can sing.
Has anybody got on their phone Iggy Pop's I'm a Passenger? have they? Is this all right to do?
Yeah, go ahead.
Has anybody got that Passenger? Just look on your phone. Perfect, perfect. Okay, all right. We'll leave it at that then. Who's playing it? Oh, it's not a phone. We've got facilities.
We've got extremely good tech people here.
We don't need just somebody having a phone. Okay. Tell him to stop it for a second. Right.
At this point in the podcast, Janice Connolly, a.k.a. Barbara Nice, did one of her trademark stage dives. Now, it will not work very well in the audio podcast. It takes a bit of time and there's nothing really to listen to except extraneous sound. That's the kind of thing people like on Stone Clearing with Richard Herring. Do check out that podcast if that's the kind of thing you're into. But here on Rahalastapa, we have more respect for you than that. So if you wish to view the stage dive, then... please go to YouTube and look up Herring1967 and you can view that stage dive in all its wonder and amazement. It was something to see, I can tell you, so it's worth doing. But for now, let's return to the audio podcast where visual things are not allowed due to the audio nature.
What was the question? What was the question?
I can't remember. I can't remember there was a question. I mean... I can't wait for the... I can't wait for the audio Pete version of the podcast for their bit.
The first audio stage dive.
Yeah.
It'll
be
good.
We video it as well, but some people listen in audio only and then they've missed the treat. Is all I can say.
It's just essentially making things happen.
Yeah, well, that was... I mean, it's good, but then something like that happens and how do we follow that? What do we do now?
I know that, love, yeah.
I'll try and do it.
It's fine. What's your next question?
I'll ask you a couple more silly. We've got enough in the can. So I'll ask you some silly questions.
And my glasses at the back, by the way. Yeah. Go on.
If you had a finger that could travel through time, what would you do with that finger?
The finger that could travel through time.
Could go backwards or forwards in time, or it can stay where you are in the present. That would be a stupid choice, then. You can go back and affect one thing. You can look through the hole and move stuff around with your finger.
I wish I put money on Boris Johnson being Prime Minister because I knew he was going to get in, even though I absolutely don't like him. I wish I'd gone to Ladbrokes.
Yeah, we can do that. You can do that you can go back on a computer and tap it in.
And put a bet in.
I mean, you could bet on a lot of things, though. You'd probably get better odds on... Southampton being beaten 9-0 by Leicester at home.
That's right, you'd
get better odds for that. That just happened. Or England losing at rugby.
I didn't watch it. What did you watch?
I didn't. I was driving up to collect my snooker table and come here. And I was listening to it on the radio. And it was in the pouring rain. Just the listening. I don't think it was raining in Japan. I wasn't that bothered. In fact... I mean, enough time has passed for the people at home to have processed it. The people here are furious with me. But
they're furious.
I felt the way... It's much nicer that South Africa won that, with the black captain and bringing that country together at a time when it needed it. Luckily, in the UK, we're not divided
in
the same way. So we don't...
That's right, we are united.
Wouldn't have helped us. Well, certainly not in England. We're all cunts here. If it was a United Kingdom team, we could have done something. But, I wasn't too upset about that. I listened to the Cricket World Cup in the car on the way to one of these, and that was amazing. And I arrived at the venue just as we won on the final board. Okay. That was incredible, to listen to. So sometimes, you know, something visual works.
Yeah, that's right. Fingers crossed.
Really, I should have been describing it now. What's happening?
Yeah, you should have done that. Could you do that?
I can do it later.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know... I also... Fuck those people who won't watch the videos. Fuck them. look, it's been... I don't know if we can even follow it. I was going to ask you about throwing yourself off stage at the Birmingham. It was the Birmingham Mac, but that was that, wasn't it? That was what we just did. That was my...
That's it, love. That's it.
So what have you got coming up? Have you got anything big planned?
I've got some Christmas shows coming up. When does this go out? Any point mentioning?
I mean, it goes out next year sometime. Right, okay.
But I have an hour in November next year.
There you go. You'll be in time for that.
2020. Doing bits of kids. I'm very interested in kids' television, actually.
Okay.
So I want to do more of that. I think it's a great thing to do.
It really is, yeah. Okay, well, we'll look out for that. Thank you so much for coming down. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause.
Thank you so much
for
having me. Thank you.
Drink. We'll be back next week. Will it be all right,
that?
Yeah.
You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Janice Connolly. Thank you to Pest for providing the music. Thank you to everyone at the Stoller Hall, Manchester, and to Chris Evans, not that one, and everyone at Go Faster Strike. I'm indebted to my... series producer Ben Walker. I'm also indebted to my fantastic executive producer Alison Munro. Oh my god, they were a brilliant executive producer, much better than the shoddy lot we've had up till now. I didn't want to say anything at the time, but they were all shit. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com to buy Trump cards, Emergency Questions book, 3 for £20, all three different books for £20. You can buy my DVDs and downloads. And you can also become a monthly badger and help us make more podcasts, as well as getting loads of bonus extras. Go to fosterstripe.com/badges if you want to help us make even more podcasts, this and other ones too. Thanks for listening. Now go on your way.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.